Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and I'm looking for a pen. God, I started and I wasn't ready. I am Clayton Smith. I am looking for a pen. No, it's fine.
You sure?
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I don't want to waste Jeremy's time. I don't waste everyone else's time. And hey, listen, friends, every week I tell a real ghost. When I have a pen in hand, I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously.
But well, I do have a pen.
You do have a pen.
So, I was taking that part a little more seriously than you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just that's so it's
true.
Clear.
That's true. Joke's on me in this, this episode. Hello, welcome back from our break.
We had a break?
Well, I mean, you and I didn't have a break, but the listener had a break.
Oh, that's, yeah. Well, unless they were subscribers.
That's true.
In which case, they did not get any sort of a break.
You're paying to be inundated with us, and I'm so sorry, but please keep doing it. Yeah, if you missed an episode from us last week, that means you're not a part of Ghost Plus, and that's a shame because it was a good episode.
Mm-hmm. We still had to do an episode.
We still did. Yeah, sorry. Patrick's pretty salty. He didn't get the week off like you did. Patrick has to actually pay me to be here doing this. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get a day off.
It's not cheap.
No. Very expensive. What else? It's Thanksgiving time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as I hear it, Thanksgiving will be over.
Right, yeah.
How do you think, looking forward, how do you think Thanksgiving will have gone by the time everyone hears this episode?
I mean, for like collectively for everybody?
Yeah,
I think fine. I think fine. I'm going to say like fine to fine plus. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Not good. Not good. Verging on good.
Oh, okay.
Fine.
Okay.
All it's going to go fine.
Okay, so it could be worse, but not much worse.
Mm-hmm.
Could be better, a whole lot better.
Absolutely. Yes.
How do you think yours is going to go? Yours is going to go. Yours is going to go.
Mine's going to go. Blah, blah. Mine,
take a good one, Jeremy.
Mine's going to go good or well. Yeah. It doesn't really, I mean, it depends on how pedantic everyone is, but sure. At Thanksgiving, but good or well, one of the two. Okay.
Nice. That's great.
How about you? Good, well, fine, fine plus. What do you think?
All the above.
Wow.
I think.
Wait, there's four of you, so you have four different experiences. That makes sense.
That's exactly right. It's going to be great. We're not seeing anybody. Friends, family, nope, mm-hmm. None of them.
Just we are staring at each other over the table.
We are going to the home of the biggest turkeys, Washington, D.C.
Oh.
Yeah, we decided to take a little getaway.
A little road trip.
We're going to go to D.C. And it's all the people are gone out of D.C. on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. They all went home to their districts. So it's great there, I think. We're going to find out.
That's right. I heard Josh Hawley ran all the way home. Josh Hawley's
been in training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's wonderful. That sounds like a really fun week.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We're going to go to the zoo.
Oh.
They got pandas at that zoo.
That's correct. Ling Ling?
Ling Ling.
Ting Ting.
Ling Ling. Is that right?
Ting Ting? I don't know. I think one of them's Ling Ling. I think one of them's Ling Ling.
And I love his band. It's so good. Yeah, we're going to go see Ling Ling and Ting Ting, and then we're going to go to the zoo, we're going to leave the zoo, and then we're going to go back to the zoo after the zoo closes for zoo lights.
Oh, I thought like you lost something there or something.
Also that. It's going to happen for sure.
We left our water bottle here, and we're going to go to zoo lights. So
when we go the third time the next morning, that's going to be because we left something or someone behind.
Either way.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be just great.
That's wonderful.
Anything else going on? Christmas is coming.
It is.
Christmas it is coming.
Mm-hmm. Do you hear that? Smart labels?
Been pretty dry over here for the last year and a half, smart labels.
And if you noticed, I've been stone sober because I cannot afford beer, Mr. Smart Labels.
I wonder how David's doing.
I bet he's doing a lot better than he was a year ago.
Should I reach out to him and ask? Oh, boy. Yep. That's. I don't have anything to add to the fact that Christmas is coming. It's happening.
Yeah.
Barreling down the pipe.
Mm-hmm. Had a fun parenting moment this morning. You might enjoy this.
Okay.
So Gloria, my middle daughter, the most peculiar of my children. Uh-huh. She wakes up. Your goddaughter, by the way.
Yes, I want to. Yeah.
Thank you. She wakes up. She's sleepily. I'm always the one making breakfast for everybody in the morning. So I'm making breakfast in the kitchen and she, crawls up to the counter, sits down at a little bar stool. And she's like, the first thing out of her mouth, 6:10 in the morning, Dad, did Isaac Newton discover gravity? And I said, what? Did Isaac Newton discover gravity? I'm thinking, man, she must have had a weird ass dream, a very specific weird ass dream.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, discover is an interesting way to put it. He's the first one that theorized, you know, large, massive bodies having an attraction to one another. But he didn't actually come up with like the equation that all came, you know, later, the development of the gravitational constant, all those kinds of things.
You're explaining this to her at 6:10 in the morning?
She's asking, what am I supposed to do?
Fucking dork.
So, right. And I'm on my phone. It's like, oh yeah, and it was, first observed experimentally in the 1700s and all this kind of stuff. And she just kind of gives me this like really disdainful look like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I said, well, you asked. And she goes, well, it's because there's this song and it says that Isaac Newton likes big booties because the bigger the mass, the bigger the attraction. I said, that's why you asked me? I've been sitting here explaining the gravitational constant to you at 6:10 in the morning because of a song about Isaac Newton liking big butts.
What song is this?
I stopped asking questions at that point.
This is great.
I stopped asking questions.
I love a song that teaches science.
I do too. It's probably a They Might Be Giants song for all I know.
I don't know. That sounds about right. Oh man, well that's fun.
Yeah, yeah,
that's fun. It was wasted a whole lot of brain power there. Totally not necessary. Well, do you want to hear a ghost story?
Sure. Fuck. Mm-hmm. It is time.
So loud. All right, let's see. The first white people to visit Maine. And probably landed in about 1497.
And they're still there. I promise you.
Never left. When non-white people came after that, they said, oh, no, thank you.
No, no grazie.
So. So we don't know exactly. We think 1497, but we know for sure that some Europeans definitely made it down there in 1499.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out fishermen from Bristol, England would sail all the way to Iceland to do some cod fishing. And then in 1499, William Weston, who was a merchant, he takes a crew down there, and I assume he gets lost because he finds Maine, and he's like, this is new.
This explains why the sun was setting on the wrong side the whole time. This explains it.
I get it. Now I get it. I
totally get it. I'm sorry. Fishermen from England sail to Iceland.
Huh? No. Yeah.
Yep. Fill their boat with cod.
Yeah.
And then expect to just sail back to England. I know it didn't work out that well, but like the anticipation here is they're going to fill their ship with thousands of pounds of cod.
I think so.
And just sail back to England.
Sail them back.
I can still smell that ship today.
they're skeletons. Mm-hmm. All these hundreds of years later still smell like that fish. Seeped all the way into their marrow.
Hmm.
Yeah, but that's good. He gets there, and he's in Maine.
Yeah.
Now, it's not called Maine
at this point. No, it's probably called Where the Fuck Am I at this point, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. Some settlements start popping up around Maine, usually along the coast, of course, because that's where the ships crash. I guess I live here now. And as we've already discussed on this podcast before, the first American colony was Jamestown, Virginia, in 1607. So it is called Jamestown. It's not yet called Virginia.
Right.
Just to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that's the first full official British settlement. So once a settlement is there, then more and more people are coming because they're like, oh, it's safe. There's a town.
Yeah. They've got
Starbucks.
Conveniences. Yes. Right.
For sure.
So we can security. All
yeah. Very safe. It's very safe. The wilderness of the New World is very safe. And so they come over, and then the more people who come over, the more they spread around. They're not all going to stay in Jamestown.
As people do.
Yeah. They go mostly up and down. They don't go west a whole lot because it's pretty dangerous.
It sounds very scary.
Yeah. So the East Coast, they stay close to the water. The East Coast starts filling up with its very first elites. And by 1630, there are enough people living in the central coast of Maine that those people thought, we should build a trading post.
Hmm.
We got stuff to trade.
Of course. I'm sure.
We would love new stuff. We hate this stuff.
we cannot get rid of the cod. It is, but still, it's, after years, it's still here. I don't know how.
700 pounds mm-hmm. still. Please help us. But of course, they're in the wilderness. And so this has to be a strong trading post because they're, it's Native Americans at this point do not like that they're there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, but they do want bread
mm-hmm.
and salt pork
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, rum.
From the white people?
No, I'm saying the white people want that from white people.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And so they have to build a trading post. There's no, they're not going to not do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they build a trading post. It's got to be a strong one. So the post, the trading post they build is so strong that it's actually a fort. They build a fort called Abraham Shirta's Fort.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham Shirt, maybe Abraham Shirts.
Abraham.
Shirt, Abraham Shirt.
Abraham Shirtless Fort. Yes.
Yes. No. Damn it. We walked backward into that one. This fort lasts for about 3 years. But in 1633, it's burned down by an English pirate named Dixie Bull. Dixie is a very masculine pirate name.
Oh, yeah. This is absolutely why he became a pirate. There is no other reason. This is pure chip on his shoulder piracy right here.
Well, actually, so he's the first pirate known to prey off ships off the New England coast. And here's this is not a fun fact. This is a fun detour
mm-hmm.
on Dixie Bull. He emigrated to Boston in 1632, which is just 1 year before he burns his fort to the ground.
Mm.
He's a skinner and a trader. He's got a respectable job. Killing animals, murdering animals.
And ripping their skin off.
Yep. He got real mad, though, one day when he was on his boat and he was attacked by a bunch of Frenchmen.
Oh.
Who then they attacked him. They stole his boat and they stole all his furs. And he's so mad that he vows to lead a life of piracy from then on.
Well, he can't just admit that his boat was stolen by Frenchmen. So he needs something.
So the fort, so he goes up and among other things, he burns the fort down.
Mm-hmm.
So the fort is gone, but like the space is good still. Like the land, mm-hmm. it's good. It's a good spot for a
good
fort.
Bones. Good bones. Right.
Good bones. Those bones smell like fish, but they're good. Mm-hmm. And so they build a new fort on the same site. And this one is called Fort Permaquid.
Permaquid. Permanent squid.
I have to imagine this is after one of the indigenous tribes because, I don't know, Permasquid does fit though, doesn't it?
It's an olive branch. It's an olive branch to the local tribes. This is what I think you said the name of your tribe was, and Permaquid turns out is like, fuck you in their native language.
Yeah.
Oh, you named the fort after that. Okay, that's good.
Had permanent squid in mind, so the smell of this cod is just killing me. I'm so sorry. We got it wrong. But
that is actually the name that they gave the white man when he arrived in Maine was, oh my God, this smells like a permanent squid over here. Oh.
Oh, thank you.
You name me this? Okay, okay. No. I'll show you how we spell that. Wouldn't that be nice?
So they build Fort Permaquid in 1633, and this one lasts until 1676.
Mm.
But then it's destroyed during King Philip's War.
Oh, it doesn't really live up to the name. Not a very permanent squid.
It sure is not. I think we talked about King Philip's War at some point in the last
probably
4 years.
It wasn't on the test. I don't remember it, though. Yeah. So.
And King Philip, in this case, is not a European king, but it's a name by which an indigenous warrior named Metacom was also known by. And Metacom took his tribes against the colonies of the Northeast to fight the English who were there. And that's King Philip's War.
Hmm.
Totally wiped out this fort. But it didn't drive off the white people for good. So that's a bummer. But mm-hmm. it did destroy the fort. So that's not nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But then a third fort goes up after that war ends.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now it's called Fort Charles.
Ugh, they just get more boring as we go.
I know. Fort Charles opens its doors in 1677. And then 12 years later, the Penobscot tribe burns that one to the ground.
Oh, okay.
So it's gone.
All right. I'm really, really wondering what the name of the next fort is going to be. It's going to be like...
Well, I don't know if there's going to be another fort. Let's just see. So there is one of the settlers who lived there was John Giles, who I think was a merchant or something, but wrote a lot of stuff down, and so he's referred to a lot in history. And here's a quote from one of his writings. The fort was surrendered, and Captain Weems went off, and soon after the Indians set on fire the fort and houses, which made a terrible blast, and was a melancholy sight to us poor captives, who were sad spectators. So the captain runs away, and then the natives are like, all right, burn it down.
Yeah. And then a great melancholy passed through the crowd.
Great melancholy wilted through the crowd. But obviously the fourth time is the charm. So the English build another fort.
Right, of course. Spot. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. This one is called Fort William Henry.
Yeah.
Again, 1692.
Worse every single time.
I think the last one is Fort Charles. This one's Fort William Henry. This is twice as good of a name. Don't have just one white guy name. Yeah. You have two white guy names. But it is like when you multiply a negative times the...
Yeah, it gets more negative.
It gets more negative, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they built that fort. This time they built it during a war.
Oh, okay.
King William's War.
Maybe it'll stick this time.
We'll see. They do it to defend New England against the French and the indigenous tribes who had banded together to get rid of the English. And this new fort had walls that were 10 to 22 feet in height. And a 29-foot stone bastion.
Oh, it's quite the bastion.
Quite a bastion.
A bastion you could eat off.
It had 20 cannons and a garrison of 60 soldiers.
Oof.
And in 1692, it cost £20,000 to build. I did not do the conversion because going from pounds to dollars to today's dollars
wasn't going to happen.
It's one more step than I like. You know what? I bet Jack could do that for us.
Yeah.
Let's see.
20,000 pounds.
The present value of 20,000 British pounds in 16. What year is this?
97?
92?
Hopefully 1692 and 97 wasn't an inflationary period.
Calculate in USD. All right. According to chat, answer now. Don't think. Oh, yes, think. Sorry. Try again, chat. Oh, my God. Just exhausting.
Paragraphs.
Paragraph, 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 paragraph. Estimated. Okay, here we go. Estimated answer. The seventh paragraph down. Estimated answer. About $9 to $10 million, which actually doesn't seem as much. Yeah, fuck it. I hate this. All right. So anyway, cost 20,000 pounds to build. So it's a big, big, strong fort.
Mm-hmm. Big, strong
lots
fort.
Lots of big, strong men.
With big, strong bastions.
Bastions. What's a bastion?
Boy, I was hoping you were going back to chat.
Back to chat. What's a bastion? Chat says a bastion is a fortified defense post or a stronghold or protector. That doesn't seem right.
No. You're just describing fort again. You can't do that.
I'm just going to Google bastion. Oh, it does say a fortified structure. Huh. I don't know. I guess we'll never know.
Hmm.
Oh, here we go. A projecting part of a fortification built at an angle to the line of a wall so as to allow defensive fire in several directions. If that answers your question.
Kind of.
Oh, I see. Here's a visual. Okay. Okay. Here we go. This is going to make sense. You're going to like this. Okay. This is the bastion. That's the bastion.
A bastion.
A bastion.
Okay. A bastion. Yes. I see. I would call that a home plate. Looks like a home plate sticking out of a wall.
Sticking out of a wall. So you can get in there. That's what I would call that. And it's cozy. Mm-hmm. And fight wars.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. This is turning out to be the worst episode we've ever done.
Yeah. we're on that way. We're on that path.
Speaking of the worst episode I've ever done, I think I'm going to do code names with Megan again.
Hey.
Let's see. Fan favorite. Where are we here? 4 years. Oh, yeah. So it costs 20,000 pounds to build. It's got all kinds of stuff. 4 years later, it's attacked by the French and their indigenous friends and burned to the ground.
Now, who keeps funding this? Who keeps pouring money into this pit?
the story of the destruction of this iteration of the fort, I think, bears a little bit of dwelling upon. So here's how this happened. The fort this time, it was being commanded by a man named Captain Pasco Chubb. There are so many delightful names at this time, and they pick the worst ones to name stuff after.
You name this Fort Chubb, and I will defend it to the death.
Look at those fucking bastions. Mm-hmm. My God.
The bastions on Fort Chubb this time of year.
So, Captain Chubb is he's commanding the fort. The indigenous army attacks, and they fight for a while, of course. But eventually, the Abenaki chiefs raise a truce flag, and they offer to discuss a prisoner exchange.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Chubb is like, okie doke.
Sure thing.
Can do. So he goes out to meet the chiefs, and when he's riding up, suddenly he stops and goes, just kidding, fire, 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 and his men open fire on the natives who are out there for truce.
Dirty pool. It's dirty pool.
Breaks the rules of truce.
It's like you can't. there's one rule of truce. It's not even multiple rules. It's just the one.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, even back then, I couldn't keep a ceasefire going. that's a Israel and Palestine joke.
The classic. Like it?
Classic. Like it? Didn't write that one down. It's just off the dome. Let's see. So this kills one of the chiefs and one of the chief's sons.
Oh.
So now that army is really mad.
Super mad. I am putting away the truce flag, and I am not getting it back out again.
Someone give me a red marker. I'm coloring the truce flag red, which means angry.
I'm crossing out the truce on the flag. It means no truce now.
It means nothing. So they go hard now against the fort, like really, really hard. They attack the fort, physically speaking, so hard that the mortar begins to shake and then crumble away.
Ooh.
They're like shaking this thing to the ground. Also, it turns out the only water supply to this fort was outside the walls of the fort.
Oh.
And once the indigenous army figures that out, the war ends pretty quickly. Yeah.
The war ends then I think it's like 12 hours, 24 hours before you start to go crazy.
It becomes pretty easy. They stop the water, obviously. It becomes pretty easy to force a surrender. Please stop putting dead bodies in our creek.
I see you pooping in it.
We're getting the yick. I don't like it. And then Chubb says he flies his own flag of truce. He's like, actually, that's a good idea.
Now I'm going to fly the real one.
And then he says, well, so they come in, they talk to him, and he says, let me go to Boston. Give me to Boston where I will be safe. And if we can do that, you can just have the fort.
What about the people in the fort? Are they on board with this plan?
Great question. Well, I don't think he asked them, because then the indigenous army says, well, what about the people?
Right.
And Chubb says, oh, they come with the fort. And so they're like, all right.
Good luck, because they're real mad right now.
So they do, and they let him go, and then they slaughter a whole bunch of men in that fort.
Well.
Yeah. They started it. So Chubb does get back to Boston. He's safely there. And he goes to see the governor, who is a friend. And the governor is like, what are you doing here? Yeah. Aren't you like at the fort? And so Chubb tells him the story, and the governor is pretty mad about all this.
Yeah. He doesn't come out real well in any scene of this.
No. So he throws Chubb in jail.
Good.
So Chubb's in jail. He serves his sentence though. A few years later, he gets out. A few years later, a group of 30 Abenaki warriors track Chubb down, and they kill him and his family for revenge.
Oh, okay.
So it took about a decade, but they got him there.
Even Steven.
Yep.
And that's the story of the first Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a great night.
So the site of the fort, now it's destroyed again. So that's four forts down. The site is just bare for the next 30 years or so. Cause they're like, I can't, we keep building them up. They keep taking them down. It's so exhausting.
It's like loosing the football here. We can't.
We just can't keep doing it.
Fool me fourth time?
Mm-hmm.
Shame on me.
That's right. But after Father Rails War, there's so many wars in Maine. It's crazy. We're still in the 1600s. After Father Rails War, it was once again rebuilt, this time by Colonel David Dunbar, who was the Surveyor General of the King's Woods.
Ooh, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Gotta have, and that's a trusted position. If you're the king over in England, you want someone to be the Surveyor General of the New World, you gotta trust that guy. Know what he's doing and know how to write it down.
I think you are correct. Did you, not to revisit too quickly here, but did you get my list of surveyor measurements from the other day?
No, didn't know. I was in Nashville, so I didn't.
I didn't look at anything. I texted you a surveyor's conversion chart.
How did they miss this?
And there are some real doozies in here. There's some real doozies.
Common units in deed description. All right. One barley corn. Who is measuring anything in a one barley corn?
It's a third of an inch. One line is an eighth of an inch, but only in Louisiana. Okay. 1 acre, obviously, 43,560 feet. That's pretty normal. Sure. My favorite, one hide, is an English land measure somewhere between 60 and 100 acres.
Nobody that knows. Is quite a range.
So probably the most subjective one on here that I could find. But beautiful listing of deed description values and their conversions.
Yeah, this is nice.
Yeah.
One out is either 10 placements of half chain or 5 chains.
Mm-hmm.
That math works out.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's good. What? Yeah. 30 toises is 160 French feet.
Good luck finding that many, though.
What is a French foot?
And they don't show the conversion from French feet to English feet, I guess.
There's 1,065.75 feet is 1,000 French feet, Louisiana only.
I was going to make the joke about them being slightly smaller than English feet, and that's exactly the case.
There you go. This is great.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway, I just thought that's something we could probably use.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I missed that. That's good to know. Yeah.
We'll pin these stories refer to sizes of land in chains, for instance, then we'll know.
Then we got it.
Yeah, we're in good shape.
All right. Great. What a good find. Was that a picture of a real book?
It was not my hand. It was someone else's picture of their hand on the real book.
All right. So you weren't like reading up on this?
No. I've not read a book in 1,000 years.
No, please stop insulting me. All right. So the Surveyor General of the King's Woods builds a new fort, and he names it Fort Frederick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't moved much. The needle is still in the same spot.
It is better than Charles.
It is better than Charles.
Frederick. William Henry.
Okay.
Yeah. Frederick. Okay. Frederick.
We are slightly better.
Frederick.
It was an inflection point and are moving the other direction.
Yeah. A bit. 15 years later, during King George's War, the fort is attacked by indigenous forces. This time, not with any help from the French, which has been the last three attacks, I think. So this is important because this time the fort withstands the attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get those French in there if you want to do the job right. What everyone says, always. It's those little feet they have. Can't hear them coming. Shuffle. A few years later, another war breaks out, and the French and Indian War this time, which is a big one where the Indians and the French got together. And so the people of Maine are like, oh no, the French are back with the Indians. So they said, you know what? I don't think so. We're going to name the whole war after this. This must be really bad. We're not doing this one. We're going to take this one off the board. And they decommissioned the fort.
Oh, wow.
They build a new Fort Frederick a little ways away. And they decommission this fort. They remove all the troops before anyone can destroy it. So they build a new Fort Frederick, and they say, you want to destroy a fort? Go destroy that one.
Yeah.
Cool. And fun fact.
Wham!
They did. That one got burned down, but not actually until the American Revolution.
Oh.
So it was up there for a while, for a little while. Hmm. Not too long, a little while.
What was the reason for burning down the American Revolution?
What are they? Oh, I think I have a note on that coming up here.
Okay.
No, I don't. I didn't write it down. It's because they started burning the forts down because the Americans took over and they didn't want the English to use them as strongholds for themselves when they came over and started the war.
Mm, I see. Fought in the war. Yeah. And then after they won the war, they were like, ah, shit. That would have been, you know, be cool here. You know, be cool here.
Fort.
A fort. Yeah.
Yeah. No one thought, what if we use the fort?
Yeah.
What if it's our fort?
You realize if we win, this is all our stuff now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it is telling that no one thought like, hey, maybe they won't take it over.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a good job.
Maybe we'll get all of this.
Let's see. So as for the original Fort Frederick, which was Fort William Henry, which was Fort Permaquid, which was Abraham Schirt's fort, which was whatever. In 1775, it's clear there's going to be war with the British. And so the people of Maine are like, let's dismantle our own fort.
Mm-hmm.
So the English don't get it. So they take down their own fort so that it won't get burned down again, I guess. So there's no fort there. The state of Maine acquires the site of the fort in 1902. And in 1908, they rebuild the tower of Fort William Henry, which had a chubby tower.
Right.
That's Chubb's Tower. They were guided by a historian named John Henry Cartland, and they used many of the fort's original stones. And here is what that looks like. There's
the
Chubb Tower.
It's kind of like a water tower, but that's also fine, you know.
Towering Chubb.
It is. Yeah. It's more of a girthy Chubb.
It's a girthy chub.
Yeah.
It doesn't go very high. No.
It's like a 1.5-story girthy chub. You know what? Whatever works for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's not about the size. It's about how you set it on fire. I don't know.
It's about how you run away from it to Boston.
It is a very small tower, though. I would like a big tower.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Maybe they couldn't find many bricks. Maybe that was the issue. They're like, we're only going to use reclaimed bricks.
It's seven times higher than this, but we can only find this many bricks. The general shape. It actually was much thinner, but we're just going to try to make it look bigger. By, you know, so we're taking it down two more stories even. Let's see. So it's now part of the Permaquid Archaeological Site National Historic Landmark District, which is a name that someone decided to give something. And obviously now it's haunted by a bunch of English and French and Native American ghosts. Visitors to the site today report cold spots on the grounds, and they report ghost lights. Hmm. Because you're always bothering me about not having any photos of ghosts. I found one for you.
I would love to see a photo of a ghost at Permaquid Fort.
Yeah. No, this is a ghost light. I want to be very clear.
Yes.
So it is a ghost.
Yeah, but
in the
course,
form
of
a ghost light. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ready?
Yes. Is it the little reflection in the middle?
It's not a reflection. No, it's a ghost light.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's okay. Sure. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That's a blue ghost light.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's kind of in the shape of a thumbprint, but that's also fine.
It's a ghost light.
I bet a lot of ghosts were in the shape of thumbprints back then.
How many thumbprints do you know that are blue? You sound crazy.
I don't know. Just saying.
You sound crazy.
It's got a great thumbprint vibe to it.
All right. I'm going to stop showing you pictures if you don't believe any of them.
I'm just waiting for one of a ghost. That's all. Everyone knows what a ghost looks like. You know, it's like on Scooby-Doo. They got the white sheet. They got the black eyes. Sometimes they got the spooky mouth. I've yet to see one of those.
I'll see what I can do next time. So there are a lot of spirits. The most common ghost, though, seen at Fort William Henry is the spirit of a Native American chief named Tukulexis.
Hmm.
During one of the many battles that happened here, Tukulexis was captured and hung from a tree just steps from the walls of the fort.
Hmm.
And his spirit is still seen walking the grounds today wearing full warrior dress. And you can also hear him screaming warrior cries into the night if you stand in just the right spot. That is the story of Fort William Henry. I do want to say that's kind of a short one, but it would have been more detailed and maybe better, except there are two Fort William Henrys. And it was about 30 minutes into the research when I realized I was researching two separate forts at once.
Where's the other one?
In New York.
Okay.
But I didn't know that. When I started, I was just like, this is Fort William Henry, and here's, it's on this water. I'm like, that's water. And that was a frustrating night of research for me. So I had to go back in to pull the threads out, all the New York out. And it didn't leave me with a lot of will to keep researching more for for the main one.
Is this why we are recording on Tuesday instead of Monday?
It's not unrelated.
It was an odd request. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I can do Tuesday, sure.
Yeah, it's getting on in the day a bit, but sure. Yeah, if you're not ready. Yep, so this is what we got. And you know what? I think it's pretty great. I think we did a good job.
Welcome back, everybody.
If you just started paying for Ghost Plus, thank you. Don't think too much about it. Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week, such as they were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick. This says Dina, but I think it's Dean.
No, it's pronounced Dean.
Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of Jen Jones and Sam Murdoch. And our merch is designed by Fox and Quill Studio. And boy, speaking of the holidays, that would be a fun gift, huh? Go go buy some merch. We need all the help we can get in the financial department. That's gonna do it for us for now. Don't fight the French in a tag team match.
Absolutely not.
No way. You think they look easy to beat, and you're right. But if it's a tag team, I don't know, something happens and they unlock their superpowers.
Watch out for those little feet.
Ooh, that's right. That's right. If you don't watch out for them, we're gonna be talking about you next week on Is This a Ghost?